What's up? What's up? It's your man Sam, host of Just Talk With Sam podcast. Just Talk With Sam podcast. This podcast, we are broadcasting live at the Motor City Comic Con. We're going to walk around, we'll meet some people, shake some hands, and teach Tasha a thing or two about some comic books. But before we get started, got to say, please visit SamShowNation.com. Right there on the homepage, you can see all of our links to all our social media accounts. You can chat, you can say hi. We're right there. You can see all of our stuff is right there. You want to show your love, you can hit the donate button on the homepage or current promotions page. This has always been a crowdsourced podcast. And, honestly, without you guys, we wouldn't be here today. So we want to say thank you. You want to show your thanks by donating, go ahead, click the donate button on the homepage, current promotions page, and give whatever makes you feel like a good person. You did it before, you want to do it again, go ahead, right there, homepage, current promotions page. You want to show your love for the Just Talk With Sam podcast, you can move that mouse over, scroll over to the store, and by going to Sam Show Nation, you can pick up whatever, t-shirts, stickers, archived episodes, all of that stuff you need, or you can get the free iTunes app. By getting the iTunes app, all my Apple people, you guys are first in line for anything happening with the Just Talk With Sam podcast. New episodes updated as soon as we post it. You can subscribe, rate, and review there. You can write about the show. You can talk about what you don't like. You can read other people, what they wrote, and all that other good stuff. You can give me 5 stars on iTunes. You can do all of that stuff by going to SamShowNation.com under the store and getting the stuff. But you're saying to yourself, hey, I'm not an Apple person. How can I get on the fun? I got you, man. Here's what you can do. You can go to the podcast link at SamShowNation.com. Click the Stitcher link for my Android people. Tune in or whatever phone you got. You got the RSS feed or you can get it right there from SamShowNation.com. Now, I am about to nerd out and I'm going to hit this floor. And we're about to talk all things comic books. But first, we got to pay some bills around here. We got a few sponsors today. I want you to go to SamShowNation.com on the current promotions page and click the Mangrate link. It's a Mangrate UX. Mangrate is American-made cast iron grilling grates. Look, Memorial Day is right around the corner. It is the unofficial start to summer, so you're seeing a lot of grills come out. So why not be the grill expert of your home, grill expert of your block, grill up your whole neighborhood. You can be your own grill expert. Go to SamShowNation.com, click the Mangrate link, and get yourself a Mangrate cast iron grilling grates you put on top of those cheap grates that you have for your grill. You get steakhouse quality food at your own home. Steakhouse quality, whatever you're grilling, whether that be beef, chicken, fish, veggies, you can do that. Great patent design, reduce flare-ups, get away grease traps, you know. So the juices are literally cooking themselves. Each grate measure about 4 inches wide, 5 inches long. Place them side by side to give yourself steakhouse quality steaks without leaving your backyard. That's awesome. And if you go to SamShowNation.com, click the Mangrate link and put in the offer code JTWS at checkout. You save yourself 33% off whatever you purchase. And what the hell? They'll throw in a free brush to keep those Mangrate clean. So go to SamShowNation.com, click the Mangrate link, shop as you normally would in that checkout. Put in that offer code JTWS to save you up to 33% of whatever you buy. Go ahead, get yourself a Mangrate. Next sponsor we have are the good folks at Dollar Rent-A-Car. Look, I just said it. Memorial Day, unofficial start to summer, which means a few of y'all may be hitting the road to see this great country of ours en route to see loved ones. And we want to help you out. So go to SamShowNation.com. Click the Dollar Rent-A-Car link, home of the lowest rates guaranteed. And one of their promotions we have here is any mid-size SUV, $199 for the whole week. And you can only get that by going to SamShowNation.com. Put in the promo code AJKRQ. That is AJKRQ. And save yourself some money on your SUV mid-size rentals for the whole week. Taxes, you know, that rate, stuff like that. But $199 special. That is the Sam Show Nation special. AJ SRQ. Go to SamShowNation.com. Click the link. Shop you normally would. And lastly, and certainly not least, the granddaddy of them all. That is it. Amazon.com. Go to SamShowNation.com. Click the Amazon link on the homepage, current promotions page. Shop, connect, enjoy all from Earth's biggest selection. I'm here at Comic-Con right now. I'm buying me some stuff. Personally, I have been preaching about Chew. I did it on the last podcast. I'm with the Bugs, Lightning Bugs. Check them out at the Magic Bag next week on the 29th of May. Just saying, they're a fan of Chew. They're a fan of comics. I may run into them here. But one thing we all got in common, we went to SamShowNation.com. We clicked that Amazon link. And we got all the stuff that we are ready for. Hey, did you know, according to Amazon, this month is Zombie Awareness Month. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You get all your favorite zombie stuff from Amazon.com via SamShowNation.com. If you're a fan of The Walking Dead, if you're a fan of iZombie, if you're a fan of just, you know, old school favorites like Night of the Living Dead, you can get it all from Amazon.com via SamShowNation.com. So go to SamShowNation.com, click the Amazon link on the homepage, current promotions page, and shop as you normally would. Let's face it, you are going to Amazon anyway. That's just how the internet works. Go ahead, go to SamShowNation.com, click that Amazon link, shop as you normally would. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're about to reset these mics. We're going to hook up Tasha's, and we're about to hit this Comic-Con floor. We'll see you guys in about 90 seconds. This is Just Talk with Sam Podcast, y'all. Just Talk with Sam Podcast. Put your name on it. If you don't talk about it, be a pop.
I don't know this till like right now. Seriously.
You on iTunes, y'all.
But it's obvious, if y'all just listen, we never write this up.
All right, we are back. We are live here at the MCCC, the Motor City Comic Con. This is the place to be. Excuse me, along with me, not just me, I have Tasha with me.
Yeah.
Executive producer, female extraordinaire, mm-hmm. The fucking anchor for this trip. A person, yeah, that's you. You're the anchor.
The best thing that ever happened to you.
Not here. This is hollow ground. This, the place
is
we are
church?
At. The place we are at. This is our time. The geek shall inherit the earth. And we have turned that shit to a cash cow. Did you look outside on that floor?
Yeah, and you know what?
You see them all. You see them. Look, I'm looking at them right now. You see them all. You see stormtroopers. You see Cylons. You see an amalgam of heroes, heroines. This is our time. This is Sparta!
A room full of nerds.
You know, you would think something like that would get my man who's dressed like fucking Leonidas. Like, no. Don't cheer for me now. Don't this is Sparta me now. You missed your mark. You goddamn 3 months. Still like Frank Miller. A lot of Frank Miller in this room is being represented. A lot of Frank Miller. You got your Frank Miller's Batman. You got 300. You got some Daredevils walking around. You got fucking Deadpool and Domino. This is the shit. You saw female Thor on the way in.
And you also seen female Captain America and female Winter
Soldier. No. You're missing my point.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Those are, okay. Before we hit out and get on this floor, I'm really going to ask you not to talk a lot.
Oh, I'm going to talk a lot because guess what?
Mainly because you don't know this environment.
Well, guess what?
You don't
know
this environment.
I'm a little more of a nerd than I thought I was. I'm not Star Wars nerd, but I am riding the line of some of a nerd. And
there are people
I am, my nerd level, my nerd number has increased because of you.
You are being judged right now.
Your nerd number is like 110.
You are being judged now by a high council of
this
right here. What you don't understand is you, Matt, are an interloper. Before we get out on this floor and before we talk to the people, and let me I don't want to get too far off track. Well, I say female Captain America, female Thor. Now, here's what you're missing.
What am I missing?
You saw females dressed as Captain America and Winter Soldier, which is cool. I got no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, nerd card knows no gender.
Okay.
But the female Thor. See, Thor is, there's a female Thor, and there's the Thor we've seen in Marvel Comics. That young lady took the initiative and became the female Thor, which is actually Jane in the comic books. See,
why does she look like she looked like She-Ra? I move
this
on.
Is why you'll be walking at least 5 steps behind me when we hit this comic
book.
This is
not a Muslim country.
This is a better than a Muslim country. We have free will. We got people letting their nerd flag fly.
And
this
also,
is where you are an interloper.
I don't care. Guess what they got? Guess what they got here? That's up my alley. Fudge.
Okay, you and the Fudge Packers say right over there on the side. Now, I gotta be honest.
What?
I held that gift pass in my head for a while. And I debated, and I came up with at least 4 names.
Gift pass?
Well, media pass. We're here because.
And you know what? And when you held it in your hand, I thought to myself, you know what?
More deserving people.
Here's the thing. So since I put my name on you as your guest, you couldn't give it to anybody but me.
All right. Before we hit this floor.
That's why I'm the executive producer.
Before we get out here, we gonna walk the floor. Which is now going to become, like, I guess, an education for you.
A little bit.
And
I already know.
This is going to be more of... This is our summer camp for me. This is, like, people of gender, different races, different cultures. We all got together. We're all getting together. This is a 3-day long convention to pay homage to the thing we like the most. A land of make-believe. Where things happen. Where the imagination runs wild. You really didn't have an imagination until last year. So you don't know what you're walking into.
I have an imagination.
Not a good one. So, in this world, we are talking to writers. We're talking to artists. We're talking to people. We're talking to the shapers of pop culture as it is.
The shapers of your nerd brain.
Great. Great. Hey, if I ever go to a natural hair fest with you, I am going to walk 5 steps behind you, shut the hell up, and take notes.
You know, I'm going to try to educate you on some stuff. Because maybe if you hear from other people, you would listen.
You ain't doing it today.
And
look around.
I am currently sitting
around
here
this
with you,
room,
missing a natural hair event.
You can leave right now.
We're all the way in Nova, so that's not possible.
You look around this room right now.
It's some natural hair.
We are
right
the
as well,
only
so.
People. I take that back. We are a few people in here not in cosplay, and I'm kind of kicking myself for doing that.
Even the black girls are in cosplay.
Why does that matter?
I'm
you tell no. I want you to say that. I want you to explain in front of a room.
I thought
I'd
let out
in front of the black girls. In front of black girls who are here. Please tell me why that matters.
I would let everybody know that it's not just for white people or Chinese people.
So we because they miss my loud ass.
No, you're black.
They miss.
It's a difference when a black woman is taking part of something. That's a big difference.
So they missed my entire people of all races, cultures, creeds.
Yeah, that's not important. When you say a black woman is at Comic-Con, then that's big. Like, wow.
Let me tell you something, Black women are some of the most nerdiest of people. Because, quite honestly, most. Because sometimes they can reach. It's about what I say about letting your geek flag fly this weekend. A lot of people, until what, 10 years ago? Mm-hmm. Until whenever the hell X-Men came out, we had to keep all of this shit a secret. So, I'm looking. Yes, I've just met. Like, I look. My man just gave me the nod. Yes. Yes. Yes, you Tony Stark.
Out of all of the people that you came in contact with, people you've dated and maybe not.
You gotta keep it a secret, man.
No one knew you read comic books.
People know. It's a weird don't ask, don't tell policy.
Y'all gay?
Actually, it would have been more liberating to be gay. I would have more supporters if I came out of the closet as gay than if I came out of the closet knowing the Green Lantern Oath. I would have more supporters if I came out and was like, I would blow a guy instead of blowing the Ocarina of Time. Now, that's a deep cut. That is a deep cut. Ocarina of Time. Somewhere out there, there's someone nodding, listening to me right now. Yes, that is a deep cut. Mm-hmm. So, here's what we'll do. For the podcast people, for the people who have not shut off this, we're going to walk around the floor. We're going to meet some people. Hopefully, we can talk to a lot of my favorite artists, a lot of my favorite writers. And we're just going to try to educate Tasha and do our best. We're just going to do our best.
Am I that bad?
Yes.
Shut up.
So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go in mobile mode, and let's hit the floor. Hey, we're here with Jim Calafiori. Yeah, I said it right, right?
Yep.
I said it right. Man, like I said, I got a few questions. I know we're in the middle of a busy con.
Okay.
One, I kind of said off mic, but thank you for making Aquaman a badass. Mainly my favorites are Aquaman 36 and 17, man. A lot of people, you know, joke on Aquaman. What's your take, man?
Well, I always loved the character. I always did. Before I got the job, I had done some pinups that the editor saw. I always liked the character, and I'm also big on nature shows, and I have encyclopedias on fish and everything. So, like, all the fish in the book were generally my doing. People would say fish, and I would pick different fish to draw.
You know, one of the cool things about not so cool things about Aquaman is the fact that he's, like, DC's running joke of the weakest superhero, but, like, when you really break it down, he can whip some ass.
It's who's ever writing him. But, I mean, it is just the public impression that, yeah, no, he's a wussy. Nobody likes him, but I like him. So
one of the things I do like, other works that you've done with DC, is Red Lanterns. Like, during the Blackest Night, you got all the Lantern Corps. Like, do you feel yourself full of rage? Do you feel, you know?
I am quick to anger. I have a short temper, so it was a perfect fit.
Okay, because, you know, that's just pretty much what they are. And,
yeah, that's it.
And your drawing of them are excellent. And as far as one last thing, and I guess I'll let you go, is all your work you've done with Batman, whether that be Batman and the Outsiders or Gotham Underground, that series that you've done, you made a lot of the, I guess, the underbosses, not necessarily supervillains, but a lot of the gangsters and a lot of stuff come alive with the Gotham Underground series. What was your thoughts behind that?
Well, the Gotham Underground was during Salvation Run, where they had transported a lot of the villains to a planet. And so they were off-world. And Penguin had a lot of their leftover technology, and he outfitted a lot of people with the technology. So it had sort of like these second versions of all the villains, and that was a lot of fun. But the whole thing was to look at it from the, exactly what the title was, Gotham Underground. All the underworld machinations. It was a lot of fun.
And lastly, like I said, watch your Batman stuff. I got the entire first run, I should say, of the Batman and Outsiders, the work you've done, and a lot of the B-rate heroes. I guess that was a part of the Outsiders. But man, I got newfound respect, and that's because of you and your work, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man.
All right, thanks.
I'm here with another one of my favorite just guys in the comic world, Mike McCone. First of all, I have a lot, if not the entire run, of the Teen Titans 2003 edition, as well as your work on Spider-Man, man. You like young teen characters, I guess, and taking over with them, but you make it sweet. I mean, you make them deal with adolescence as well as superhero aspects. Anything you got to add to that, I guess? And if I'm out of school, just tell me I'm wrong.
It was my choice to do Teen Titans. It was just something that was offered to me. And it was kind of difficult because they're not young teenagers. They're almost grown-ups. So it's difficult to get that balance right. So it's kind of tricky, but I enjoyed doing it. You know, it's interesting characters, nice range. And Jeff Johns wrote some really good stories. That makes a big difference.
Okay, and like a lot of the times, well, you've been known for your teamwork, whether that be Teen Titans, JLA, Exiles. Is that something? Is that a preference?
No, my preference is not to draw team books. But you somehow editors figure you either do something well, or you're willing to do it because no one else is going to do it, and that's just the books you get offered. So I take what seems interesting to me, and they just generally happen to be team books.
Okay, because I've heard those are like the hardest to draw, mainly because you're not really focused on one person, you're focused on the entire team.
Yeah, they're tough. They're much tougher than single books because you have to try and figure out where everyone's going to be in a panel. So it's a lot more work, and you get paid exactly the same. You get paid the same to draw Spider-Man as you get paid to draw Avengers. And Spider-Man's much easier.
I mean, you've worked within Marvel, within DC. You've drawn a lot of people. Is it somebody you haven't and you kind of want to? Or somebody out there you just couldn't get your hands on yet?
I kind of like Swamp Thing at DC. I like Alan Moore's run on Swamp Thing. I like how Yannick Paquette drew him. So as far as like other people's characters, I think that Swamp Thing is pretty much the only one that I haven't drawn. I've never drawn, actually, that I'd like to take crack at. I think I've drawn everyone else.
Okay. Yeah. You've worked on both. Do you prefer the Marvel style or more of the DC wait for a story and then draw the character style?
They're both the same now.
Really?
It's all full script, yeah. I can't remember the last time I just got a plot. So they're interchangeable at this point. I prefer working old Marvel style back in the day where you just got a plot and you had more input in the story. But that's just not the case anymore. So if I had a time machine, I'd go back to like 1975 and draw comics then.
Okay. And lastly, and I mean, thank you for giving us your time, but in your books, like lately, in your team books, is it hard to kill off a person? You did it in Exiles, you did it in AA Avengers. You killed off Metal, man. That was one of my favorite guys.
That wasn't me. That was after I left. When I was on Avengers Academy, I begged Christos to kill off Hazmat because she had a complicated costume. I designed it. It was a mistake. And I was like, let's kill her. He's like, we can't kill the only Asian on the team. I'm sorry.
Why'd you kill Metal?
I didn't kill Metal. He was after I left. I like Metal a lot. He was easy to draw. He had a cool look. Killing them, it's comics. They're going to come back. So it's like, it's...
Yeah, that was my next question. If you could bring somebody back, like right now, who would you bring back?
Like any character or someone I've worked on?
Someone you had a hand in taking out.
I did a book called Vexed for DC. 6 issues. And he the book only lasted 6 issues, but I enjoyed drawing it. So I wish they'd just reprint it.
Okay.
He's not even dead. He's just in limbo.
Yeah.
So if they reprint that, I'd be very happy with that.
Man, thank you so much, Mike.
You're welcome.
All right.
Then fire away.
All right. Well, Todd Knock, man, thanks for being on my podcast. Thank you for making me take Nightcrawler seriously again.
No, my pleasure, Sam. My pleasure. It's great to meet you, man.
Nice meeting you, man. Like, let's just start. You're famous for Nightcrawler and X-Men. Are you fond of Nightcrawler, or is it just kind of like something you... Yeah, let's just draw him. Let's make him
cool?
You know, actually, I grew up reading X-Men. So Nightcrawler is one of my top five favorite X-Men from when I was a teenager. So, and when I first started reading X-Men comics, Chris Claremont was writing Uncanny X-Men. So getting to draw one of my favorite X-Men characters with a legendary X-Men writer was definitely a dream come true. So I loved working on the Nightcrawler comic, just personally as well as professionally.
Okay, and it shows because you brought new life to that character mainly because, well, you made him more of a, you know, just teleporter. You gave him some skills. You gave him some depth. We dipped into religion a little bit with him. Yes. It was awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Also, I want to talk about Wild Guard, like the American Idol / Hero competition.
Yes.
Where did you come up with that idea? That was a good idea, man.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, I've actually been a fan of reality TV show as back as far as when I was in art school, like with shows like Cops and MTV's The Real World, before reality TV really exploded.
Yeah.
So that's when I first created Wild Guard. I was watching Cops and wondered, what would it be like if cameras were following superheroes instead of cops? So that's when I first created Wild Guard and did it as an Ashcan mini-comic when I was still in art school. Then after I broke into the business and was working for a number of years, and after I wrapped up Young Justice, I decided I'd bring Wild Guard to the comic book shelves. And at that point, it was the early 2000s. Reality TV had exploded with Survivor, Amazing Race, American Idol. And I thought, I'll do the origin story and use American Idol as the template to put this team together. So so it definitely tapped into the popularity of reality TV of the early 2000s.
I mean, you always had your hand in pop culture, like especially with the Obama Spider-Man team up.
Yeah.
I mean, great idea. What was the thought behind that? Was that more of the pop culture, more of the same?
When Barack Obama was elected president, there was an article that came out shortly after that kind of getting to know Barack Obama more, and we kind of got to learn some more about him as a person. And one of the parts of that interview was that he grew up reading comics, Conan the Barbarian and Spider-Man being two of his favorite comic books from when he was a kid. So Marvel got the idea of, well, let's let this historic president meet his favorite superhero in a story. So that's when Marvel decided to do a Spider-Man meets Barack Obama story, and they contacted me to draw that 5-page story for Amazing Spider-Man number 583.
Okay. Any reaction from that? Did you get like a presidential pass? Can you like commit crimes? It is totally cool.
I got to ride on the jet. No, actually, I have not heard anything from Barack Obama or the White House or anything like that because, you know, when that comic came out, he was just starting his job. I figured he's pretty busy. So maybe someday after his second term is done, maybe I'll have the honor of getting to meet him and get him to sign my personal copy. But nothing just yet.
All right, well, Ty, like you talk about honor, it's an honor to meet you. Keep drawing a lot of my favorite guys. Every Wednesday, I'm buying new stuff. So thanks, man.
Hey,
you're back at Marvel now, right?
I'm at Marvel right now. Nightcrawler, we finished our Nightcrawler series with issue 12. The new trade paperback comes out. The second volume comes out later here in May, maybe early June. And right now, Marvel has me doing a lot of covers. So you can find me on a lot of different covers for different comics. And I'll be posting about what my new projects will be on ToddMock.com and my subsequent social networks that link from ToddMock.com.
All right. Thank you so much. Tell me when you're ready. All right, John, man, I just want to shake your hand because, sir, you brought us the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
One of my favorite comic books. Great, great idea, mainly because, you know, rehabilitate criminals and hopefully they can do something. And if they don't, well, they die.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the end of it. Man, how do you feel about the new movie coming out?
Oh, I'm very excited by it. I was so surprised when they decided to do Squad right after the Superman-Batman film. But I think it makes sense.
Well, yeah, you got to put them somewhere. But I thought that was kind of weird, too, you know, because that's such a high-profile thing. And Suicide Squad is one of those books where you kind of got to be talked into it. I was talked into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the logic behind it is having explored some of the heroes, they want to explore more of the villains, and that I think makes some sense. But also, the concept is very different from Superman, Batman, Justice League. So, yeah, I think it would be an interesting interesting film.
Any Stan Lee, like, cameos coming up?
Actually, they have named a federal building in the movie after me. It's the John F. Ostrander Federal Building. The pictures of it started showing up on the internet last week.
I mean, a lot of your works are now starting to, like, really jump on board because you did a lot of work with Iron Fist and Luke Cage, and now the Defenders are starting to show up with on Netflix. Any high hopes for that, or do you want to see something?
Oh, well, I would love to see it, but I don't get anything from it, you know, per se, you know. But I would love to see it.
Oh, what I meant is, like, anything you personally, any personal touches you put in there, sort of like the...
I always liked the Black Knight. Yeah, I think he would be cool. But all those characters were fun to play with. So, okay. I enjoyed it. Heroes for Hire was a very different book for me.
And lastly, you work with Geoff Johns on the new 52 Aquaman. You brought a lot of new life to that character, man. We all took Aquaman seriously again. What's your thoughts on that?
The funny thing is, the first time I got an Aquaman fill-in, I was going, oh, God, Aquaman. You're like, what can you do with Aquaman? Everyone makes fun of Aquaman. But the more I started playing with him, the more of an interesting character that I found him to be. And Geoff Johns simply revitalized him so much. So just playing off of Jeff's lead on that was real easy.
Okay. And lastly, I got to ask one more Power Man question. I'll let you be. Regular nowadays, Luke Cage, or you want the yellow shirt back?
No, I'm okay with the current days. I think all the characters, you always got to look at updating, with the exception of Superman. He should always have the red trunks.
Yeah. New, he did look a little weird, but good weird, but still kind of weird.
Yeah.
All right. Well, John, thank you so much for your time. I'm here with my man Jim Beard.
Hey.
Man, one of my favorite artists, man. You have made, well, you brought back to life, we talked about it a little off mic, Batman 66.
Yeah.
This is your Adam West, Burt Ward type stuff. Was that your Batman, or is it a special connection?
Yeah, it is absolutely my Batman. I probably saw the TV show before I read a Batman comic book. So, yeah, it is the Batman that I grew up with, and he's still my Batman today.
Yeah, because if you sit back and think about it with age, although I like the Adam West version, it's not my Batman. I mean, I'm not even Michael Keaton. I am Kevin Conroy. I'm Kevin Conroy.
Oh, all right.
That's my Batman. But
you know what? The Kevin Conroy Batman harkens back to earlier Batmans, and that's why it was so successful. So it's not just a dark version, but it's also a fun version, too.
Yeah, because originally that show was for kids, but if you sit back and look at it now, it was not meant for kids.
Well, it's just like the Adam West Batman. There was something going on for everybody. It was for kids, but there was a lot of humor that went over the kids' heads and was for the adults, and that's why for the 3 years that it was on, it was huge.
Okay, I mean, look, I can sit down and talk Batman with you all day, but one other thing I want to hit on, Ghostbusters, man, you also, now that's where you came, they're like the 80s Ghostbusters, that's my Ghostbusters.
Alright, so what is that, the cartoon then? Or?
No, the movies.
Oh, okay,
the movies that turned into the cartoons.
You like the cartoon?
I love the cartoon.
All right.
Ghostbusters Extreme. I always wanted that to go a little bit longer because it was like they were passing the torch over to the new guys.
Yeah.
And that thing should have got a lot more than what it got.
Yeah.
I mean, your involvement with Ghostbusters, are you happy of the franchise? Are you happy of the new movie coming out?
You know what? I'm looking forward to it, but honestly, they waited too long. You know what? It's a little too late as far as I'm concerned. They waited too long, and we lost Harold Ramis, so that was a blow.
Exactly.
Egon's my man. Love Egon. And then Bill Murray, I don't know. You know, he dragged his heels for too long, and not real thrilled with that. But I'm looking forward to it. They're talking about doing an all-female version.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, one with just guys. So I don't know. You know what? We'll see if it actually happens.
You know what they should do? Just take the storyline of Ghostbusters Extreme, because they passed on. You need new Ghostbusters, and there you go.
They need to film my story.
That would be awesome, too. That'd be awesome.
It takes place at a comic book convention. You can't get much better than that.
No, it can't. No, it can't. Also, I know you do a lot of work with Marvel and your correspondent. Is it weird being on this side of the interview?
Yeah, kind of. It's fun, though. But, yeah, I've done a lot of interviews that work for Marvel.com. I have for over 10 years now. I interviewed a lot of people. I interviewed Stan Lee and Lou Ferrigno and Brian Bendis and all those guys. So, yeah, this is fun, though. I like being on this side for once.
All right. Well, I want to say thanks for being on the podcast, man. Thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
And I look forward to more everything.
All right.
Thank you.
A lot more on the...
There we go. All right. Jim Broomall, thank you so much for being on my podcast. So much. The reason I wanted to make sure that if I don't talk to anyone else at Comic-Con as far as some of my favorite artists, I talk to you because you kind of are the conduit to trying to bring my wife into comics.
Awesome.
Mainly because of what you have drawn. I mean, like, usually it's sort of like she says, oh, that's boy stuff doing boy things, and they doing, and for the most part, she's right. But there is kind of like, I'm like, no, comics are for everyone. But every woman, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, I can't have an answer for that. And then you showed up, and I'm like, see, look, there's women doing stuff who can be girls and not necessarily sex objects. So, thank you. That was a long way. That was a long way to say thank you. And my gateway to you was through your work in Lady Death.
Right.
And, I mean, how was that? Because you didn't exactly help my argument where it was just kind of like, oh, it's busty women doing stuff. And then I'm like, no, but Lady Death's a badass.
Well, and Lady Death is traditionally, she is busty. That's just kind of her theme. That's what she, you know, that's the character. That's how it goes. So, I mean, there's no way of avoiding that. But I think that when it comes to, you know, it's a hot button issue, the portrayal of women in comics, and I totally understand that. I do draw pinups, but I try to make them a little bit more natural. They've got a little bit more meat on their bones, and I'm not trying to squeeze every part of the body. Like, I'm not breaking the back to have both front and back showing.
Got it.
Or, you know, doing other stuff. To me, it's sexy is not a bad thing, as long as it's within context. If it's not within context, then it doesn't make sense. You know, that the context seems to be the bottom line. Like, you wouldn't have a 12-year-old character being sexy. The context just isn't there, and I don't care if it's about the art or whatever. It just doesn't make sense. But I think there's also a time and place for it. I'm a mother of two. I have two little girls.
I got a little boy.
I want a strong representation, and so I go for, like, the new designs of Batgirl, because my daughter is a huge Batgirl fan.
But this Batgirl is more covered up.
She is, but it's, if you look at her, who her target audience is, again, this is context, her target audience are tweens and teens, young girls, and so I love that, because then I've got something positive to give to my daughter that's, you know, it's not overly sexualized, and it's a strong female character, whereas if it was the older version of her, then yeah, that makes sense because it's a different audience. So I think that when it comes to that, it's not to be angry and say, oh, it's just boys being boys, or is that's what it all is. Is that if you look at the context, yes, we all understand that sex does sell, but you can't just jump onto it as it's all bad, because if you walk through a mall, there's a whole Victoria's Secret billboard of a woman with most of her meat hanging out and families walking around in front without a care, and that's a real human being, and that's not scribbles on paper. Granted, sometimes people do take it too far, but we're trying to find that line, because comics was, for a while, just kind of like this little small club. Everybody everybody kind of did what they wanted. Now that it's got a bigger audience coming in, more voices giving feedback, people want more variety. So we're going to have to do, people are going to have to get off their high horse, in my opinion. Do more like manga anime where there's something for everybody. And there's whole families reading that crap. There are mothers reading cookbook animes, mangas. I mean, it's like if you just start inviting people in instead of going, no, this is our club, and supply to everyone, then there will be something for
it. How's the industry changing in that aspect?
They're listening. Well, honestly, I mean, if you think about it, it's money. People are going to spend the money. They're going to make it. And if it's going to get good feedback, they're going to keep on going, because that's the bottom line, is you've got to make a profit. We want to stay, you know, current, and we don't want to die, but it's also, there is some resistance, but there are so many up-and-coming female artists. I mean, it used to be that to find a female artist was hard, but nowadays there's so many of them coming out of the woodwork, and not all of them draw the cute stuff. I know some fantastic lady artists who draw the gritty, dark, just crazy. So the whole "you draw like a dude" really isn't relevant anymore, because guys, gals, anybody can draw as long as they got talent for it.
Are some of those lingering stereotypes still here in the comic industry, or is it just going away?
It's starting to go away. It's still kind of here. It's kind of, you know, like I said, some folks are still kind of holding on, but it's changing whether we like it or not. And it's, I mean, every now and then I'll get it, and I'll be online, because I have a large online presence. And
oh, feel free to say your Twitter.
Well, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, if you look up Genevieve Brumall and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, I'll have people assume I'm a man online, because I don't really post a lot of photos of myself. So they'll be like, "Dude, man, oh, your art's like crazy, girls hot," blah, and I'll be like, "Yeah, man, that's great." Woo! But it doesn't bother me, because I know that the thought process wasn't quite there yet.
Right.
But I think
it's instant emotion. It's social media.
Right. And also, I think that with more women coming forward and drawing stuff like this, it's going to teach people, oh, everybody, you know, it just takes time and hard work, and then your, you know, skill level is not gender biased.
Okay. And like with pop culture adapting to comic culture and stuff like that, I can see where some of those old issues wouldn't necessarily stand up, because you got to be current, but you can't have that same stereotype, because it's pushing yourself back. It's like a circle. If that makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense. And like I said, they're learning. They're listening. They're learning. Some folks are resistant. Others are really supportive. But it's one of those where I think in the comics and all of this media is kind of in the growing pain stages. But I think once we get past that, it's a big sandbox. Everybody should be allowed to play in it.
Okay. And last and certainly not least, any personal lady heroine that you want to see on the big or small screen, TV or movie, that's someone that probably hasn't been represented and you feel as though they can show up?
Not necessarily one that hasn't been represented, yeah. But one that I'd like to see come back would be Tank Girl.
Really? Because you know she's right around the corner.
Oh, I know. I saw her last night, and I was like, but I really love the character. A lot of times when people say, "Draw your favorite female," I'll say Tank Girl, and they'll think, but it seemed like she was written for a male character, that they just flipped it and said, "Oh, let's make it a woman." And it to me, that kind of character is just so out there. I love it. And
okay.
I think it's funny, you know? But I have a success in humor.
Oh, there you go. Well, Jen, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. I'm here with my man, Jim Weeks, man. Jim, like I said, off mic. Jesus. Okay, let's start again. I am in fanboy mode now. I'm not editing this. I'm super in fanboy mode, because I'm seeing a lot of stuff from the people I've been reading for years. So sometimes when you meet these people, your brain turns to mush. So, Lee, apologize about that. But one thing we were talking about before we jumped into me messing up. Remember how you said, I'm not going to embarrass you. It's going to be me embarrassing. Yeah, that's happening right now. One of the things I read about you is Daredevil, man. Daredevil, mainly more Daredevil, towards Volume 1. Does that remain one of your all-time favorites?
Daredevil's always been one of my favorite characters to work on. Yeah, I drew him for a couple of years, 25 years ago. I think what you were just referring to is I drew the final issue of Volume 1 before they rebooted the book back in the late 90s. And then most recently, about 2 years ago, I actually got a chance to write him as well. I wrote and drew a story arc called for Daredevil Dark Knights called Angels Unaware, which is probably, if not my, yeah, in many ways, it's the most important job to me that I've ever done. That particular story had a lot of personal elements to it and stuff.
How does it feel to write on a character you've been drawing for years? Do you prefer the writing of the story, or do you prefer drawing, or both?
Definitely both. Writing is, for me, is very, very hard. And the reason it's hard is I want the words and the pictures to dance together in a way that, in a real exacting way. So it almost feels like writing a song lyric, both in, not just the writing of the words, but even the picking of the shots and the visual storytelling. It has to have a certain rhythm and a beat. So I tend to pore over it over and over again until I get just that right kind of rhythm that I want, go through the pages, through the scenes, and then hopefully the entire book.
Okay, Lee, did you get a chance to see the Netflix series?
I did.
What'd you think?
I thought the execution of it was fantastic. It's a little darker than I was expecting, but I understand that that's was a little different sensibility in today's culture. But I mean, Daryl's never been a bright, fluffy character. But there's a trend, not just in Daredevil, in all of the books. It's just a little dark for me, but clearly the acting was superb, the writing was superb. They got an awful lot of things very, very right in it, and the casting was terrific. All the players really fit the characters very well. I almost said something else, but I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't seen it.
Yeah, because I'm keeping it kind of general. Daredevil, like you said, was never a happy, fluffy character. He's always been street-level hero, street justice, and I'm doing my best to walk around it so I don't spoil it.
Yeah, did I spoil it?
No, I may. I'm picking my words. Okay, one part. This has very little to do with the car scene with the car door.
Yeah, that was troubling.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was made it more a little bit more grown up, because he's the first real Marvel grown up character who hit the scene in this latest iteration of the MCU.
Yeah, I want to be careful because I really love and respect the guys that worked on that. I really have great admiration for it, but to me, I that's just too much.
Okay.
I think our culture's in a little trouble. So this probably isn't going to be a popular thing for Daredevil artists to say. But, I find that stuff hard to... I think our hearts are getting a little too tough that we're able to see some of that stuff and portray some of that stuff. That, whatever.
Don't let your kids see it, pretty much.
Yeah.
Another thing I love with your work is Frontline, Civil War.
Yeah.
Like, it was cool seeing the Frontline series of where you get a chance to kind of like weave in between both sides, even though, it was very non-objective, and at the same time, you got a chance to understand the story. That was my favorite part. What was your favorite part of it?
I just enjoyed doing the work. That one I wasn't so as connected with the overall of the story. I was kind of working on my chapters and doing my thing, and I just remember having a lot of fun doing some of them. I got the pencil and ink, and Yeah, it was just, it was an enjoyable.
Okay. Hey, and last question. You know they're coming out with this Captain America Civil War that's going to be based off of that. Is it something from the book you would really like to see in the movie, or is it just kind of like you're just going to strap in and go from there?
I'm just going to strap in and go from there. I haven't even seen the last two or three movies.
All right, you have my permission. You can leave right now. I got this covered. You can just go check it out because they were awesome.
Yeah. did you like Age of Ultron?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
You did a good job.
Very good job.
Maybe I'll get to see it this weekend.
Oh, please check it out. It's worthwhile.
All righty.
All right. Thanks so much. Joe, for starters, thanks for being on my podcast. I've been reading comics for quite some time. I've been reading you since 2004. Pretty much Blackest Night. Let's just start there. Let's just go.
It has to be Blackest Night. You know, like a bunch of people have started out there, you know.
Yeah, man. Like, that's where you came on my radar. I'm curious, how did you get involved with Blackest Night?
Well, first, I still am Ivan's agent, okay, and I've always been an artist, okay, and back then I used to translate all the scripts for him, scan all the arts from him and Eau Claire, okay, and they needed someone to help on the character designs for the series.
Yeah.
And back then I was drawing Warlord for them. And then they said, hey Joe, we need you to do some designs for us. Would you be up for it? I said, dude, of course. How many? Like hundreds. I said, okay, the more the better, you know, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And one thing led to another, and Eau Claire needed help on the inks on Blackest Night. So that's when I really started to ink Ivan, you know, and after Blackest Night, we kind of, you know, really everything came together, you know, for our partnership, you know, and we started working on Brightest Day, and that led us to Aquaman, you know.
Yeah, but Blackest Night, I just want to hit that, because that started, well, Brightest Day and all that, then it devolved into all the other Green Lantern Corps. You got that? Then it turned into all the other Green Lantern Corps. That's where all of them really showed up. And I think they all had a book at one point.
Yeah.
I know Red Lantern's still here.
Yeah.
Yellows kind of jump in and out. I'm curious, what Lantern Corps you think you'll fit in the best?
Oh, dude. I don't know. Like, Green?
Okay. Really?
I'm a good guy. Come on.
I mean...
I'm a good guy.
I think I would be in that weird...
I look rough around the edges, but I'm a good guy. Come on.
Like, I fit Green, but that weird Kilowog Green where...
Come on. Kilowog kicks ass.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's where I would fit in. And if he had his own personal one.
Hey, yeah.
Because Blue, not so much. Yeah. I'm not that angry for Red. Yellow. I may fit in Yellow. Gotta be honest. It's so tight.
Depends on the day of the week.
Yeah, it depends on the day of the week. Early in the week, I fit in Yellow, man.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's cool.
I mean, you did a lot for the DCU. Any particular character you like drawing the most?
Well, Hawkman. Hawkman. I love Hawkman.
Okay.
Okay. I love Dr. Fate. I like Warlord. I like Green Lantern, you know, and... Above all the other characters, I think that I like Aquaman.
We have been getting a lot of Aquaman love here today, mainly because I guess we're in the know, because people know that Aquaman is a badass.
Yeah, yes.
I know there's no way to dovetail this, but I've been reading Multiversity lately. It's awesome. Did you get a chance to put your spin on some of the characters coming from different universes?
No, that time, no. You know, that time I just inked too many characters. Okay, I lent the crazy part to Ivan, you know, like, he went crazy with the script from Grant, you know, not me. I went crazy just inking all the details.
You know? Okay.
Really.
And one thing, and I guess I'll leave you alone after this, you're going to solve a lot of problems, but if you had to pick one Green Lantern, who is your Green Lantern?
Kyle Rayner.
Thank you. You're the only one who agree with me, man. Kyle Rayner's the best.
He's a comic book artist. Come on.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Let me start this. All right. Ivan Rice, Matt. Like I said, we were just talking to Joe a minute ago. Matt, you two in the Green Lantern series and Multiversity, I've been reading that. It's a good book. It's a good series, man. I'm curious. Who's one of your favorite characters to draw?
I love to draw Shazam. Yeah, you know, like,
please,
yeah,
keep going. That's my guy.
Shazam is very fun to draw. And the other character I like to draw, it's Aquaman. Aquaman was very fun.
Man, Aquaman is getting, like I was just telling Joe, Aquaman is getting a lot of love today because not only he's just a great character, and a lot of people always like dip on him saying he's weak, he talks to fish, but he's really a good character. He's such a good character.
You know that? Do you know the best part? He's a classic superhero. He's like Flash Gordon. My Aquaman is Flash Gordon. The face is Flash Gordon.
I never thought of that.
Alex Raymond. When I was to go to work with this book, I told for them, okay, I use Alex Raymond as reference, Flash Gordon as reference. They say, no, because we are going to do the New 52 more modern. And Flash Gordon is old. It's the old stuff. We can't do that. No. Trust me. The classic is important because they try to make a different Aquaman and visually the design. And I told you, we can't do that right now because nobody cared about Aquaman. Is the right expression? Nobody cared Aquaman.
Right. No, you're 100% right.
Yeah. And we need to make the people love the classic first. Then we can make the change and designs, whatever.
I'm seeing a lot of those changes in Justice League, the New 52 Justice League. And you just followed Jim Lee. Is that any? Was that intimidating? What was that?
My design was the other hand, was the other direction. I tried to do him the more classic I could. Because I think it was important to show for the audience. He's cool in Origin Green, and he don't need to look like a bad guy to show power. And that's the interesting about him. Because he has hungry inside him. Right? Too much hungry.
He's a king! He should!
King. But the fun part is he can't show for everybody. You need to feel this angry, not show with the teeth and yelling. And the funny part is I tried to use his hair to show when he was losing the control. Because he tried to keep the hair all the time and the haircut in the line. And when he's going to lose the control, the first thing lose the control is the hair.
You're going to make me go back and look at those now.
The hair is like a character. When the hair is making a mess, it's because he's losing the control.
Okay. Are you excited for the new movies? Because it looks like that's the level of Aquaman that they're taking, as well as the other Justice League. So you're pretty excited about that? Anything you want to see that you drew show up on the big screen?
Of course I'm very excited for that. I'm a fan. I'm a fan drawing comics for fans. I can't wait to see that. It's amazing. I like the design, the ideas, but I don't know what to wait, and I want to see, and I'm very anxious.
Lastly, this wouldn't be fair. We asked Joe this. I'm going to ask you. You guys did a lot of stuff with Blackest Night. What Green Lantern Corps you think you'll fit in the best?
My best Green Lantern Corps? It's Kilowog.
No, I mean, what light? Green, red?
Okay, with the color. I like the yellow. Yeah. Like
thank you. Me and you. We both said yellow. We fit in real well.
Interesting. The yellow came after the Corps starts, because in the beginning of the book they were blue, and Ethan had the idea to change the blue for the yellow, so and he gets
man
right direction.
You learn something new every day. Ivan, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. Alright, Joe, thank you for giving me just a few moments of your time here at Motor City Comic Con. I am, like yourself, a big Star Wars fan, and quite honestly, I do have some of your artwork in my house, and mainly I should just say thanks, Matt, because all of these look badass. All of them, man. One question I gotta ask, man. Who's your favorite character to draw?
My favorite Star Wars character to illustrate is Darth Vader. Hands down. He's my favorite.
How couldn't it be, man? He's just great, man.
Well, my style is very graphic in terms of, like, high contrast, like, you know, dynamic, very dynamic shadows and light. So, because I'm a comic book artist also, so I employ my graphic style in my Star Wars art. And Darth Vader, you know, being his costume is all black, so it works really, his look works really well with my style.
Okay. One thing I love about some of your style that I don't see a lot, and it would make more sense that, it made, like when I saw it, it made all the sense in the world, like the propaganda art, mainly because I don't think people are just showing up just to be a part of Sith, and kind of like rally behind it, Sith, mainly because Sith get a lot of bad press.
Right. The propaganda art's fun because it kind of straddles the real world with this Star Wars world a little bit more in terms of, you know, it's not necessarily that you would really see these propaganda posters in universe, but then again, maybe you would, you know. It's one of those things where it's like, these posters could be used in the Star Wars universe, or they kind of work on another level, just from an art appreciation level or a fan level. You know, if you like that style of art, or if you're into that kind of genre, it's kind of a cool little niche to work in, I think, with the propaganda style.
Okay, and also we're not going to just Star Wars the whole thing. You also do work with Star Trek.
Yep.
You are a man who walks between the worlds.
I do. I get the man that walks in both worlds. That's right.
Okay.
I do, I mean, I've been doing Star Wars longer. And the reason I do Star Trek, I mean, it's, you know, Star Wars opened the door to all these other properties, you know, like Star Trek, Farscape, Doctor Who, you name it. So, but Star Trek is, you know, a pretty big franchise, you know, to itself, just like Star Wars is. So I get a lot of opportunities. A lot of Star Trek publishers will call me and ask me to do Star Trek work. And I'm a fan, for sure. I'm definitely more of a Star Wars fan, but I love Star Trek just as well, so. So, you know, they go hand in hand with me. But if I, you know, if I'm going to have to pick, it's always going to be Star Wars.
Okay. Yeah. And lastly, thanks for giving us a couple minutes of your time. Any high hopes for Episode 7?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't even have to hope. I already know it's going to be amazing. From what I've seen, and I can't really divulge that, but I just know from my sources that it's going to be amazing. Like, it's, I have no doubt. At all. From what I've seen, it's gonna blow people away.
Okay, awesome. Like the trailer when Han looks over at Chewie and says, yeah, "We're home." I just thought, oh man, just take my money right now.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, just expect that. Expect that kind of stuff like the entire movie. I mean, it's gonna be pretty awesome. So.
All right, well, Joe, man, thanks for giving me just a little bit of your time. I know you're busy at the con, and where can they see your stuff, man?
They can visit me online at joecaroni.com. That's my official website. And follow me on Facebook. I have my Joe Caroni Facebook fan page. I'm on Twitter, Instagram. All my social media is connected to joecaroni.com, so I'm pretty easy to find.
All right, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
Okay, we are back. We're wrapping it up. We're in the media room. We talked to a lot of cool people.
Who's your favorite?
I do not have a favorite. I love them all differently. Love them all equally. They are the shapers of pop culture. I will continue to read their stuff. Special thank you go to Jim, in no particular order. Is Jim Beard, Jim Broomall, Jim Calafuri, Joe Caroni, Mike McCone, Todd Knock, John Ostrander, Ivan Rice, Joe Prado and Lee Weeks for being a part of this podcast. We got a chance to really sit down. Well, me personally, I got a chance to sit down and like pick their brains a little bit for this podcast. Some of the stuff you didn't hear, you may see us on social media. A lot of cosplay. I tried to take as many pictures as I could. This was just a great, great, great day. And quite honestly, I'm having fun doing it. Now, here we go. Back to you.
What?
What did you learn today?
You know what? I really, really like Jen Bromar. She's like the bomb. Like, because what you don't understand about me is I don't read comic books, but I do enjoy the story. And I do enjoy the art. And I do enjoy those things. But I'm not a particular reader of comic books. And I don't think I should be. I shouldn't have to be a reader of comic books to enjoy art.
And no, it's all art. I get it. But
I'm not a particular writer. My whole thing is I shouldn't have to pretend like, okay, yeah, I'm into comic books. I'm not going to pretend to do that. But I can say, you know what? That's a dope Spider-Man. Or that is a dope She-Hulk. Or whatever it is.
All right. But look at a case like Lee Weeks or Jim Beard, who had times of drawing as well as writing.
Yeah.
So they go hand in hand. I mean, like, Daredevil is such an underrated character. Hey, if you saw the Netflix thing, I know me and Lee Weeks talked about the Netflix version of it, but any Daredevil is good. He's always a gritty character. He's not going to come at you.
Even the Ben Affleck one.
Hey, Ben Affleck get credit. The only problem I had with the Ben Affleck Daredevil is they tried to squeeze too many books in one movie. Mm-hmm. That was the only problem. And Colin Farrell's Bullseye. Other than that,
there's a lot of problems.
Bullseye.
I'm sorry for the yawn, y'all. It's been a long day. I'm tired.
Bullseye is the truth in the books. And yeah, all right. It's all good. So, as far as a young lady like Jen, I can sit down and talk to her all day because...
I love her art. Her art is dope.
Not just art, not just like sexism in comics. I said it earlier, if we didn't talk to anybody on this floor, I wanted you to talk to her because, I mean, it's not a boys club. She's doing her best, along with other fine females out there doing the good work, breaking down those barriers. Because it always were looked at a boys club. And she's doing the work that says she's not. Also, on the Facebook page, we're going to put up all their links. You should be able to click them and see their art. You can see some of their stuff. You could visit. We're going to do it on Facebook.
Especially on our Instagram. I think we posted.
We posted stuff on Instagram as well. But Facebook, I'll make sure I put everyone's link so you can see their art for people who isn't here. And if Comic-Con stops by your neck of the woods, go. Go be amongst the people who don't be a Tasha.
You know, be a Tasha because you can learn stuff. You're not walking around acting like you know everything. Like Star Wars, I will put forth the effort in watching Star Wars. I will put forth an effort.
I got you on tape saying that.
Okay,
you are big recorded saying that.
I will put forth an effort.
When
you say put forth the effort, I'm not guaranteed that I'm going
to. Like, I'm sitting next to Joe Caroti, who has made some of the greatest Star Wars art. And I've never seen it. It was just kind of like, I don't know you.
But no, honestly, a lot of women have not seen Star Wars. A lot of women have.
Name three.
Probably all the women in my family.
No, I know for a fact Jessica has seen it. Maybe I know for a fact.
Miss Markle, has she seen it?
Yes, she has.
Wanda.
Yes, she has.
Gabby.
Oh, I know Gabby has. I sat Gabby down my damn self.
Anywho,
it's just you.
I had a good time. I'm tired, but I had a good time. It's worth it, you know, getting to meet people, talk to people, and seeing like how, you know, how people really like put their all into these freaking costumes. The freaking Master Chief, My Little Pony combination.
Ain't got nothing on a lot of the people we saw. I mean, it's too many to name. One thing I am going to do, I'm going to wrap this up because Vivica Fox having a Q&A. All right. Vivica A. Fox is having that Q&A in a couple minutes.
According to the sign, she won't be here until tomorrow.
No. It's in about 5 minutes.
You think it is in your dream.
No. Look, Vivica A. Fox.
Line from tomorrow until this thing is over.
Vivica A. Fox. Hey, Chloe Bennett's supposed to be here. She's probably here now. That's Sky, baby. That's Sky from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. And if I can, maybe that Robert Englund line would die down a little bit.
I'm still trying to figure out why.
It's Freddy! It's Freddy! And,
oh, yeah.
Or maybe
Herschel's line was long. Herschel's
line still is long. If you were a member of The Walking Dead, I take that back. Erogis Mitchell, talk to him.
Yeah, we did. We met a few people.
And Lori Petty.
We met Ferrigno, the first Hulk.
And we couldn't put this on mic, but you're going to see some interesting stuff with Lori Petty and Orange is the New Black. I'm just saying.
We got a couple more weeks of Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff. We couldn't have our recording devices there, mainly because I don't want to get sued. So let's just
you got to go through chat hoops. Things that I do on a daily basis, you had to do the same thing.
All right, so.
But the behind the scenes is not important. We got to talk to these cool artists, illustrators, writers, you know.
So that's the core of Comic-Con. I wanted them on mic because a lot of times you get our eyes, but you never get our ears. Mm-hmm. Those guys. So you get our eyes if we're reading a story or if we're seeing the visuals. You never get to hear it from the horse's mouth, and you just did 10 times. So I want to thank all those guys for being on the podcast. So let's wrap it up because Vivica's coming.
Well, you talking to Vivica? I'm going to Chipotle.
That's great. You can catch us samshownation.com for all things related to Just Talk with Sam podcast. All of our social media stuff is there. You can get me personally on Twitter at samshow11. Your Twitter handle?
My Twitter is iHeartTashaMac. And my Instagram is @iHeartTashaMac. But none of the pictures on my Instagram, they're on the Just Talking with Sam Instagram. So.
And you get that, Just Talking with Sam on Instagram or Facebook, Just Talking with Sam. All right, true believers, we're about to get out of here. Excelsior to all those people who understand what I just said. That means
go for it. Just say live long and prosper.
Okay, first of all, I think I made it abundantly. There you go. I made it abundantly clear. I am a Wars guy, not a Trek guy. You can tweet me with any disgruntled. You know what? I take this back because Shatner's supposed to be here tomorrow. So
okay,
I'm still gonna see Vivica. So all right, see you guys.
Vivica got room for you to get in her car with her.
I'm pretty sure she does. Okay. All right, we'll see you guys next week.